I cannot believe there was ever a time I thought we could skip Ultimate Girls Trip 3 just to get to 4. It is so good. I'm covering that and, of course, Scandoval over on my podcast, She Speaks Bravo with Emily Hanks, available everywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here, walking onto an elevator to tell you about today's brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast. Ooh, it's a doozy, baby. First of all, I hope you're having a great start to your week. Hope you had a great weekend. I was doing shows in Dallas, Fort Worth, not Dallas. There's actually a big difference. They tell you that. They were like, Fort Worth is not Dallas. Things are a little bit different in Dallas. And then you're like, why? Because they're all hat and no cattle, which means they're, I think, rich and they fake it till they make it. Their dicks are small. Their nipples are big. Look, today's episode, Matt Rife is on the show. Matt Rife, TikTok sensation, stand-up comic, hunk. Girls love him, guys want to be him, and he's on today's show, and it's a banger of an ep. He's got a new special out, Matthew Stephen Rife, on his YouTube page. His first special, OnlyFans, is also on his YouTube page, and it's hilarious. The guy's a great kid. I've known him since he started at 14, and gave him some shitty advice, and we talk about that and a lot of other stuff, and he's a great dude and a great comic, and he's crushing it. I'm sure you know who he is. My sister was like, he's going to be on the podcast? I was like, yeah, it's easy. But he's on tour right now. I think MattRife.com for tickets. Matt Rife on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok, of course. Follow me, Adam Ray Comedy, on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. When this comes out, I will be with the Impractical Jokers this week. Ooh, Seattle Climate Pledge, April 7th with the Impractical Jokers. And then April 8th, two shows at Keller Auditorium in Portland, Oregon with the Impractical Jokers. And then I'm going to do another Paul Feig movie in Atlanta. And then Austin for Moon Tower, April 19th through the 22nd. I'll be at Joe Rogan's Comedy Club with Harlan Williams, April 14th through the 16th, which that'll be a blast. And then, Atlanta Punchline, May 18th through the 20th, Palm Beach, Florida, The Improv, May 26th through the 28th. All those tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And we got some other special announcements coming, so stay tuned, baby. A lot of fun episodes coming your way as well. So make sure you are subscribed to the podcast right here. Click somebody just, I think just died in the apartment next to me. Subscribe to the podcast, of course, on Spotify and YouTube as well, or iTunes, wherever the fuck you want to do it. And go watch my new clips that I'm putting up. Dallas, we got so many clips coming from this weekend, coming your way on this YouTube thing under Adam Ray. Fuck, all right, let's just start the show. Enjoy Matt Rife.
Hey, it's Herbert. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Welcome back to the show. You ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
Matt Rife here. You guys might know him. You might have masturbated to him. I know my mom has. I don't know if moms are your... I think your female audience is spanning the gamut. By the way, do you want to wear the cans or no? Headphones?
I don't need them.
I don't need them.
Sound okay?
Yeah, are we good? Yeah. Your voice. There's even like an upswing in your voice. Remember last time I talked to you, you were like, yeah, I'm Matt Rife, and yeah, I just hope to sell out theater someday. And now...
Well, at that time, I was just trying not to sell my body. So now tickets are finally moving. I get some confidence to me. It's
bro,
great.
There is a pep in your step, though.
Thanks, man.
Do you feel it?
A little bit.
I mean, you haven't changed. I just was talking about this. Sorry to cut you off, no. But I want to throw a compliment your way to Sandy Danto. And he goes, dude, I love that guy. And I go, yeah, I'm about to have him on the pod. And he goes, it's so crazy, you know, when anybody in this business, when they get that you've known to see not the change, because this is what I'm getting at, is you are the same dude to me. And you're just, things happen. But when you get stronger and undeniable on stage, then people start to take notice. And then obviously other factors, social media, the way that you've just promoted and marketed yourself. But we both just agreed of like, it's great that like, you always want to be happy for someone's success, but you want it to be genuine.
Of course.
You don't want to have it come from a like, I need to feel good for that person for just karmic reasons.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you. Thank you, Sandy. Yeah. Sandy Danto is great.
So do you, I guess that was my question. Do you feel like now when you go on stage, obviously there's a giant roar of applause that maybe wasn't there before,
it's
but
it's so weird. Like I'm not used to it at all. It all still feels like, all right, this is this week. Like
great.
Next week is going
to
be,
hold on to that,
right back to nothing. But it is weird. Cause like, I think last time we did the podcast together, it was like, dude, I had to like fight for my life to get like one spot a week around town. It was one of the reasons I contemplated moving out of LA. I'm like, there's just no need for it.
Where are we going to go to?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just got a place in Austin just for like the convenience of touring.
Cool.
I'm on the road like 5 days a week. It doesn't make sense to go East Coast, West Coast every single weekend. So I thought about moving out because I wasn't getting any stage time at all. Now it's like I did 5 spots last night and like the entire crowd at each show, like,
went nuts.
They were my audience.
Bro.
And that's insane to me. It's almost like, it is like more pressure though. I will say that. I do miss, like, there's like a novelty feeling of like going up and just being like, okay, I have to impress all these people. Nobody knows who I am. And but there's kind of no pressure to that.
1,000.
Like, I'm not losing any fans because they already aren't my fans.
Yes.
Now, like, when you go up, you're like, I have to do well. Otherwise, people are like, oh, he's so much funnier on TikTok.
Wow. But that pressure, I guess, does help to breed.
Absolutely.
Even like more, I guess, work ethic or writing, because you're like, all right, I want these shows. I know that it's, even though, you know, people maybe, you know, paying different than what they come see just me on the road, you still have an obligation. And it's, I mean, I don't know. It's the consistency that got you to where you are now.
Well, it's so much more opportunity, you know, like 5 spots last night.
Yeah.
I just recorded the second special like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And I'm already like 45 minutes into the new hour. Like and that kind of opportunity allows you to be more creative and get those juices flowing. You can really flush stuff out, you know?
For, I guess, younger comics that are watching, how are you getting, is it truly just, are you in a zone right now writing wise, or is it just reps and stage time that you feel like you're getting everything you want out of each set to have a new 45 already?
Both. I would definitely say that just the opportunity, because I flush out a lot of stuff on stage. I'll go up there with a loose premise, and then I'll throw around some premises, I guess, and really just getting the repetition and being able to just see kind of what flows each show. Because, I mean, you know, like it's something new, even just like a tiny little inflection that you change. You're like, oh, that was the thing that was missing the whole time.
Yeah.
So right now it's just the opportunity to try new things. And I think the demand, like the pressure is there that like when this second special comes out, when people, my entire calendar for the rest of this year is sold out already. I don't want those same people to be like, well, I didn't watch the special because
crazy,
it's insane.
Dude.
And we're about to add a bunch of theaters, I know.
I just saw somebody post on one of your clips, there's nowhere I can see you in 2023. And then you just put patience. And I was like, yeah. Like, what are you supposed to say? Like, sorry, I guess there's, because yeah, like exactly what you said, you're going to add stuff in there. Mm-hmm. But that's, bro, I don't know anybody that's, I mean, I guess you would look to the top of the top that is sold out for a while, but there's probably even some Kevin Hart shows in fucking Chattanooga that still have, you know, some balcony seats remaining.
It doesn't make sense to me either, man. It's kind of like when I announced the tour dates in general, it was almost like when a musician announced it, like, this is my 2023 tour. Like, people will save concert dates a year in advance because, like, this is the only opportunity I get to see this person maybe in my life.
Yes.
And now people are buying it like that. I would never buy tickets to an event more than like a month and a half.
Really? There's no artist you would like die to go?
No, because I'm like, I don't know what my life would be like in 2 months. You know what I mean? So to anticipate plans in December from now is insane to me. But people are still showing up. It's absolutely incredible.
I guess we should get into the, because again, I remember you and I were backstage opening for Dane Cook in, I don't know, I want to say somewhere in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both just, you know, discussing the grind. And I think you were about to do a movie, and then you were trying to figure out, it was just, you know, business shop talk, you know, concerns. And we were kind of both just kind of, you know, throwing, you know, tidbits and words of wisdom to each other. And then on the pod, the last time you were here, you were crowdfunding your special.
Yeah.
And trying to get that, all those pieces together.
Yeah.
So now, I guess just take me through. And take everybody through, like, you know, what was there a moment that you just kind of like, you know, it's so funny. Even when you did that, I go, dude, I bet there's a fan somewhere that's like, can you bottle that cough and sell it to me after the show? Because your fans are
don't
so
swallow that phlegm, Matt. Just fucking bottle it up. Dude, who was it? Which actress was it that was selling?
Oh, Stephanie Maddow from 90 Day Fiancé, selling her farts. Oh, no.
There was that.
Well,
there
Gwyneth
was
Paltrow, the vagina candles.
Yeah, vagina candles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are we not capitalizing on this?
Dude, I don't know, Matt.
I thought about doing dick molds as candles, and like, there's like, obviously.
Thought about it.
Yeah, call them dick wicks.
Yeah, dude.
You start big, you burn it down to your size, obviously. But you start big.
Bro, I mean, I feel like
Shark Tank.
Yeah, hi sharks. So look, you like to set the mood, but you also like to celebrate your favorite comedian.
Look, we're a family business. My son runs the marketing.
Oh my God, it is a family business. You got grandpa's cock, you got dad's ween, and you got Maddie's penis. So Maddie's penis sounds like a great dive bar somewhere
Maddie's
in Detroit.
Maddie's penis.
Yeah.
You know, I've never been to Detroit. It's like the one major city in the country I've never been to.
I'm sure you'll hit it.
Is it a good
great
town?
Comedy city?
Really?
Great comedy club called the Comedy Castle that's been there for like 30
I've
years.
I've heard of them.
And then the Fillmore is a classic
Fillmore
theater.
Is there, isn't
oh yeah,
I don't
and then
know why
there's
I thought that was Philly.
And then there's another and then there's a bigger one. I think there's a couple Fillmores, you know, but they're killer, dude. I'm sure that will make its way into the
I'll
schedule.
Make my way up there.
All right, so we're back there. We're talking. And then I guess Special comes out, does well, right? I guess start me from there, and then as much as you can kind of, you know, feel about kind of taking us through how we got to where we are.
Yeah, so the first Special came about because I was just like groveling on my friend's couch one day. I was like, man, Comedy Central, Netflix, HBO, like nobody will give me the time of day to shoot any kind of special. A half hour, a 15 minute, nothing.
It's frustrating.
It's so frustrating. And you start to get, it makes you so bitter. It's not even in your control. It's just so innate. You're seeing all this opportunity around you and just nobody wants to fuck with you at all.
And you know what you're doing, right,
of
on
course.
Stage, and you know how you're being received. So you're like, how is it not translating to their eyes and ears?
Exactly. It's very confusing. Yeah. And you get in this massive slump. I was complaining about it. My friend was like, why don't you just shoot it yourself? He was like, you're already not getting paid to shoot it for somebody else. I was tired of doing this material that I've been building for 10 years. And they were all great jokes that I didn't want to just drop and dismiss and get rid of.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, well, how much is it going to cost? And we were going to have like a baseline fee of like, I could probably do it for like 10 grand. Is it going to be great? No, but I could film something for 10 grand.
Yeah.
So that was the initial concept. And then we were like, well, let's try a GoFundMe. Let's just see if anyone gives a shit. And luckily, people gave so much shit.
Yeah.
We ended up gaining, like, I think it was like 30 grand
wow.
for the first special. And
I think I threw down on that.
Yeah, you did. Dude, yeah. You did. Eliza did.
Cool.
Finesse did. Yeah. Eric Griffin, D-Ray Davis.
Awesome.
Like, all people that have been, like, very kind to me throughout
awesome.
My entire career have all pitched in for it. So thank you.
That matters, of course, dude. Well, it's also, I mean, look, a no-brainer, but also, yeah, dude. I mean, everybody who's a comic at any level just understands, and especially I think now more than ever, that, you know, it is in your control. Like, you control, you should be cognizant of, like, all right, if things are going to happen, it's all on me. Whether it's like, you know, getting an hour together to get somebody to come out and see, funding it yourself. Did it overwhelm you? How many people threw in cash and made it happen?
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't believe that many people cared or like wanted to support something crazy, a crazy idea that I
That's
had.
Cool.
But it instilled exactly what you just said. Like, I ended up self-producing it, self-directing it, like had to wear a million hats on this project. And it was exhausting. I didn't get a chance to even think about my set until I was walking on stage for each taping. Because I'm like, I'm sweeping mud up the floor. I'm ironing curtains. Like, it was a nightmare.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no time to focus at all. But in doing that and getting a product that I ended up being proud of, I mean, was it the best shot thing ever? No, of course not. But it did exactly what I wanted it to do.
It looked great and it sounded great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all you can really
ask.
And
it's like, I know what you're saying. You're like, did I have that sweeping dolly shot, a Netflix balcony? Like, you know,
exactly.
But like, I don't know, man. The content is what's needs to be king there.
Mm-hmm.
And you did cover your bases enough for people to go, to enjoy aesthetically to watch.
Yeah, yeah. And it made me realize, oh, shit, if you really want to do something, you can do it.
Cool.
Is it going to be hard? Yeah. Is it going to take calling in a lot of favors? Yeah. But if you're so dead set on the idea that you have and you really believe in it, that's the time to call on those favors. And I did it, and it's doing well. I think I had, like, maybe 12,000 subscribers on YouTube when I posted it. Like, I'm not a YouTube guy.
Yeah.
I never watch anything. I don't post anything. And I think we just hit over 3 million views in like 13 months of it being released.
Subscribers gone up too, yeah?
Yeah, I'm at like 250,000 now or something like
Get
that. And I still
out.
Don't really post anything on there.
But
so sidebars, kind of funny. You know 800 Pound Gorilla?
Oh, yeah.
A fantastic company.
Just talking with them.
Really?
Because I saw actually yours is now on theirs.
Yeah, they hit me up to do the album version of
yes.
it, obviously. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? That's an extra check and extra
yes.
ears on it, you know? And they were like, hey, would you also mind if we put it on our YouTube? And their specials get like, you know, 75,000.
Some have 70. There's a few that have like 300,000 and 400,000.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. It's in definitely in a smaller range.
And mine had been out for like a year. So I was like, all of my fans have seen it via my channel now.
Okay.
So it's kind of just out there now. And I was like, you know what? Can't really hurt. They're like, yeah, we'll throw you whatever back in we make. I'm like, sure, maybe I'll make some, you know, a couple dollars or whatever. Now theirs has been out for like a month and a half, and it's almost at 3 million.
I saw that.
Insane. Bro. But now I'm mad mine doesn't have 6 million because
course,
all the traffic got driven to theirs.
But I mean, as many eyeballs as you can get
That's
on it.
That's all I
right?
wanted out of it. I didn't expect to make any money. I didn't expect to make my money back by any means. I just wanted people to see a stand-up product of mine, because that's another thing I couldn't come to a conclusion about. I was like, why can't I gain followers online? Why am I not getting more stand-up fans? And I was like, oh, I'm not giving them anything. Pictures on my Instagram does not feed a stand-up comedy audience. Like, you have to be in the clip game. You really do. Otherwise, what are people a fan of? I would go, why don't I have more fans? What do they have to be a fan of?
We'll be right back. I mean, that was a fucking, as far as teasers go, we'll keep it right here. Matt, that's fucking, dude, you're how old again?
27.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think you're, for whatever reason, I was like, I still don't think you're 24, but yeah, you're 27.
Well, I've known you since I was like 19.
Crazy.
God, that's, ow, that hurt a little bit. Fuck.
That's what, you started at 15.
Yeah.
15. Yeah, 19 you were out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were like, I'm just going to do stand-up and crash on couches. And I was like, get a job, bro. I was like, you need just to give yourself something to talk about. And you didn't stiff arm me and be dismissive, but you were like, yeah, you took it. You did what we should all do when someone goes, and I know this because it's how I do it when I'm giving anyone advice. I go, take it or leave it. I go, I'm not ever going to tell anyone what to do.
Yeah.
I go, this is my journey, my experience. But also, if you're at the age you were, I was like, it'll just be more material to even have a job. That was all I was coming from, was like, you know, and also I was like, dude, there's probably a lot of MILFs at a lot of Ralph's grocery stores that would love to have their fucking tuna salad put in a bag.
You know what's
by
funny
you.
Is I got hired at Ralph's. I got offer. I was offer only at the time. the Ralph's here on Sunset. I was with my manager at the time. We were buying literally like cans of tuna, Hot Pockets, like only the shit I could afford.
So
then.
Body by Matt, Hot Pockets, cans of
well,
tuna.
I was also
air.
I was also a boy then. You
for
know
sure,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when you met me, I was like King Twink, like the skinniest child.
Yeah.
We were checking out at the register, and I was just talking to him about it, and he was like, yeah, we're going to have to start submitting for jobs or whatever. And like the manager happened to be standing right next to us. She was like, do you want a job here? And I was like, yeah, I think I kind of need one. She was like, you're cute. You could bag bags, right? And I was like, yeah. And I was
I thought I had to bag food. She's like, no, you're too pretty for that. We're going to have you just put bags in bags.
So you're more of a safety net than anything. We're not the detrimental force.
That's
here.
Funny.
And I was supposed to start training 2 days after I booked Wild and Out.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, I booked it 2 days before I was supposed to start.
Dear Diary. Did that bum you out? Or no? You were like, this is what I came here for. So.
Yeah, I was pretty bummed I didn't get to be a bag boy. I was like, this was the American dream. I was supposed to go there. I was supposed to get recognized.
Yeah, motherfucker, I bagged groceries for 4 years. No. It is there's a part of you that's like, I want to, you want it so fast when you get out here,
of
right?
Of course.
I don't know how many weeks you... So how long was that you were living in L.A. until that happened?
I would say it was like a year and a half, something like that. Which is still pretty fast to like get
1,000%.
On a TV show. But yeah, everyone has this like idea of instantaneous success when they move to L.A. And they don't realize that like 10 years is an overnight success. It really is.
It's been about 8, since you've been out here.
No, it's been 10.
It's been 10.
This is my 10th year.
Wow, dude.
And it's so funny because like now I'm having all these meetings with studio execs and stuff like that. And they're all super, super sweet and very kind. Like we're hoping to build some amazing things. But like there's just an air of like...
Where you been?
Yeah. Where have you been this whole time?
My...
Like literally down the street doing exactly what I'm doing now.
Trying to knock on your door.
Yeah.
You just didn't look. Yeah. It's
but that's
so
like
funny.
That's the power of social media now. Like I still hate social media. Like I think it is the most unhealthy thing to ever exist in human history. I think it's worse than sugar. I think it's worse than drugs. I think it is so bad for the world.
100% agree.
But advertisement wise,
yeah,
you can get in front of literally everybody.
Everybody.
And that's as a comic, like that's what you need. Like that's the audience you need. You don't need these studio, these executives, these networks, and everything. They aren't the gatekeepers of success anymore. I would take a pay cut if I got a TV show right now, which I still want to do because like that's my passion and my dreams and my goals.
Yeah.
But you have to be self-sufficient.
Yeah, there's got to be people right now in Zimbabwe that are discovering you for the first time on TikTok.
Shout out to Zimbabwe.
Shout out to Zimbabwe, man. You guys ain't getting
a comedy scene over there.
Bro, there's going to be a time where there's a, I see a flyer for Matt Rife does fucking, you know, Dubai. I mean, Dubai for sure, but like something, a crazy Venezuela, like, I just see it getting like crazy, dude.
It's already getting so weird.
Fill me in. How
and I,
so?
And I like weird venues too. Like, I want to shoot my next special at the Ford's Theater in D.C. where Lincoln got assassinated.
Wow.
Because I'm a huge history.
You may dress
nerd.
Up like Lincoln and you just give me yes. a shout out and I'll wave to you.
Every
from the
time
top.
I hit a punchline, I go.
And I'll go. And then wave to the crowd.
You know, that's actually the thing I want to negotiate if I do it. It's like, I'll take a pay cut if I can. Because when you go there, his booth is like, it's blocked off by plexiglass. Like, you can stick your head in,
wow.
but you can't step foot in there. I want to be able to step foot in there.
Come on.
I just want to be able to, like,
do a promo or something.
Spot. I think it would be absolutely
wearing the
incredible.
Beard. Oh, God.
I'm such a nerd. I would love that.
Why?
They do shows there.
Oh, they do?
Not no one's ever done stand-up there, but they do plays.
Why'd you pick it?
I'm
or
just,
why are you wanting to pick it?
I'm just so fascinated by history. Like, D.C. is my favorite city in the entire country. I'm such a nerd when I go. I've been to all the museums 15 times. I've been to all the monuments 15 times. Mount Vernon, George Washington's
yeah.
house, is, like, my favorite place in the world. You know when, like, in a movie when someone has, like, a falling out and they're, like, drastically trying to find the person? Like, where's Matt? I have to make up for what I did. And they're yeah. like, I know where to find him. And he's, like, sitting on a rooftop, kicking his feet, like, writing
yeah,
poetry.
Yeah, slow zoom in on their face, and then montage of them either biking or traveling, and then
yep.
they walk up again. And they cut to you, and then they cut to them walking up the steps.
Yep, that's exactly where I
What's
would
up,
be.
What's up, Matt? And then you go, hey, guys.
How you been? Yep, bottle of beer.
You knew I'd be here, huh?
How'd you find me? You told me this was your special place.
I didn't know you were such a history buff.
Yeah, man. It's like weird venues like that I would love to do. It's not a massive venue. It's like 600 seats, I think.
So you start posting more clips because you're like, I gotta give people something to get on board with.
Yeah.
And is there like a, do you consult like a TikTok person or anyone, or are you just like, all right, everyone says post it this time, I'm gonna, you know, put these captions here, whatever? Or is it literally just like Behrman clip captions, post it, and it just took off?
Just gut instinct, I guess. I mean, obviously, like, subtitling is a thing that became prominent for some reason.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why that's
needing
better.
To show people what the bit is about before
yeah.
they. Yeah,
I also catch myself reading rather than looking at the comic's face,
totally.
Which adds so much extra comedy to
yeah.
it. Yeah, I had no instruction via doing it, and that's kind of the thing I'm happiest about the success I've had on there, is it's like it's been doing what I want to do. Like, I enjoy doing crowd work. Like, that's fun for me.
Yeah.
I get tired of doing my own jokes. I think every
sure.
comic does.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing worse than when you're delivering a joke in your mind. You ever catch yourself thinking about something else?
1,000%. Yeah.
You're like, fuck, I'm phoning this in right
1,000%.
It's still doing well, but you're like, I'm not enjoying this moment.
Yeah.
So crowd work was so much fun, and I realized a lot of people were doing it on TikTok, and it's something I've been very, I guess, blessed to be decent at. Mm. And it was just, it just all one clip just blew up everything. It was so weird.
It was one clip.
Yeah, a video I thought was stupid and didn't want to post anyways. I was like, this isn't even funny.
Which clip is it? We'll cut to it right now.
It's it was the Lazy Hero. I think I just unpinned it from my profile the other day because it's no longer like one of the highest rated ones.
Yikes! Just topping your own best.
I know. I was at dinner with Paul Elia at
Paul.
up in Montreal in July. We were at dinner together, and I was like, I edited this clip, and I bought the camera equipment. I learned how to edit, and this whole exhausting process. I'm like, I'm getting a couple hundred thousand views a video, but it's not changing anything. And he was like, just post it, just to have posted something. And I was like, fine. And it did like 20 million views like overnight, basically.
What?
And it made every other clip that was on my profile do millions of views. And then it just became this chain reaction and just like an influx of people coming to my page. And now every video does between like 5 and 40 million views. It's
what
insane.
The fuck? So it's you're at
wild.
Dinner with him talking about that clip. You had put it up. Is that what you said? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And so you were like, all right, you didn't think it was what, your best? Or you just
I was
were like,
watching it. You ever watch your own stuff? And you're like, this isn't even
it's tough,
funny.
Man.
Dude.
But you know that you need content. And
yeah.
you're like, and also what sucks sometimes is when it happens in the moment, it's never like it is when you watch it back.
Of course.
Because it's like, and that's how it should be. Like, you're feeling, there's just so much more that you're getting live.
Yeah.
But you're like, yeah, I need to put stuff up. This is not, it's a representation of me. It's not, you wouldn't put it up if you didn't feel somewhat compelled.
Yeah.
And enjoy it.
And for that video, I just didn't. I was watching it at dinner with my headphones in, and I was like, it's fine. I'm sorry. It's like 3 minutes long. I was like, I don't know if anybody's going to want to watch this. And people loved it. It was insane. And then it was about nurses and like and working in emergency rooms. And I had this giant influx of like nursing fans coming. And now like a lot of my shows, there's always nurses there. It's so
interesting. No way. That's like your nail salon bit from Angela Johnson.
Oh my God. Exactly.
Right?
That. Yeah.
Because that, that's crazy, dude. One clip, it really, I mean, whether it's Burr, Russell Peters, Angela, it truly is, it can be a game changer, like you said.
Absolutely. And I love finding a niche subject in like certain crowd work situations, like the nurse, like a nursing theme. Or I did one recently that did like 40 million about, I was doing some crowd work about kids with autism. And it was a very like respectful way of doing a joke about it.
I saw that. That was great.
Oh, thank you. It, but it brought in so many new fans who were like, you know, my kid's autistic. And we see comedians joke about it all the time, and we find it like disrespectful. But like this was like an appropriate way to navigate it. So you get these different, and then maybe I'll do a, I'll do some crowd work about Black History Month. Now I have Black fans. Like it's it's a wonderful way to get a full culmination of an eclectic pot of fans. I'm not like pigeonholed into like one subject.
It's a genuine curiosity too about you're a people person, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, with the crowd work stuff, you know, you're a good listener. And that's a big part of it. And then, obviously, you got to be in a spot to where you trust yourself, just speaking from my experience with it, enough to go, I can make anything funny. And anything that's thrown at me, I'm going to be able to spin. But also being having a genuine curiosity in that woman with the autistic kid, I think it was like a verbal, nonverbal thing was the exchange. And you're also killing it with kindness. You have, you know, I think we both possess this, where it's like an ability to kind of come off maybe a little dickish if you with your tone and tude.
But that's like, that's the stage character.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
But also if you're doing it with a smile and it's not, and your intent, if people get a sense that like, you're not that, you're not a bad person, then you get away with a little bit more as far as like busting balls and saying things with a smile.
Yeah. You can, if you're a charismatic fuckboy, like it's easier to get away with it.
There it is. That's the name of your next
special.
But dude,
I charismatic fuckboy. Nah,
or a superhero that just, you know, didn't make the sixth, you know, cut it, Captain Plant. I don't know who that, I don't know where that guy fits in, but that's not bad. I mean, I don't know, dude. OnlyFans was the first one. The second one was just your name, right?
Matthew Stephen Reif. Yeah.
Why that title?
So my grandpa, so I'm named after my grandpa. Yes. So his name was Steve.
Yes.
And he passed away like 2 weeks before the special taping. I was, the special was going to be called 30%, where I had this like 15 minute chunk out of my set where I talk about how like, I think it's important for comics to find their audience, and not just for like, not for the sake of ticket sales, but the sense that like that's, you have to find your people in life in general, right? Like, how long have you been in LA?
Man, I came here for school 2005. I really consider it post school, so 2005 to now, so 18 years.
That was a sadder answer than I expected. Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah,
I forgot how much older you are.
Oh yeah, okay. 40 baby. I'll take it though, man. Noxzema, clear cell.
So 18 years, how long did it take you to find, like, your group of friends out here? It wasn't immediate, I can't imagine.
No, man. Well, I mean, I had some buddies from college that carried over, but, you know, I'm doing a different grind. They're doing the 9 to 5, so we're just on different schedules. So, man, through, I guess, the casting office, Universal Studios I'm working at, open mics, sketches.
Years of shows, yeah.
Yeah, man, I'd say probably... Yeah, man, a good 3 to 5 years to feel like I had like 5 or 6 people that I could kick it with all the time.
It takes years to find those little bits of people that you're like, okay, you get me, I get you, we vibe well together, we're not on like this LA douchey kind of energy.
We're not trying to use each other.
Exactly. Yeah. That's such an opportunism, if that's a word.
I think it is. Think it we'll is. Look it up. We'll edit it out. Yeah.
Just bleep
Your
it.
Fans might love that too. I think they're like, oh, he's so cute. He doesn't know a lot of words.
Oh my God, hot guys can never read. That's so cute. So similar concept in that, like, throughout your entire life, you're gonna have to look for your people, right? And I know my comedy is not for everybody, and I'm totally accepting of that. That is totally fine.
It's healthy.
I've always kind of said that you want to find like your, if you can find 30%, if you can make 30% of a room laugh like hysterically. How many times have you tried a joke that was like, maybe it's an edgier joke or a darker joke or something like that. You're just trying it out. Like, you know it's a fucked up thing to say.
Right.
But it's your sense of humor. So you throw it out there to a room full of 100 people, and 70 of them are like, oh. And the 30% are like, ah!
Yes.
Ah! That's the funniest thing I've ever fucking heard. Those are your people. Those are the people that I want to find, and those are the people I want to be like my lifelong fans and friends. Like, those are the people I want to surround myself with, and those are the people I want to do shows for. I don't want to do shows for the rest of my life full of people who are just coming because they like the way my face looks. You know what I mean? I want to find people that I hang out with and I can do. My dream is to be able to do the kind of humor I want to do in front of a room full of people who like the same thing. That way it doesn't feel like a show.
Right.
It feels like I'm just hanging out with 1,000 people.
How satisfying is it to know, because I'm sure it happens still. I mean, now probably people truly just know you for your comedy, but they're, I think for probably a while, right, people are, if they came back there or came because they saw your poster, their flyer, and then would you get this, like, you're actually pretty funny.
All the time. Yeah. Especially when I was younger, I would get, you're pretty funny for your age.
Right.
Like, oh, cool. So if I was 30, I would be trash. Right. But as a 17-year-old, it's okay. I get that all the time.
And still now or no?
Oh, yeah, still quite often. Yeah, you were funnier than I thought. You were funnier than you are on TikTok. And I was like, that's what I want. The best is when I get guy fans. Oh, my God.
Because what is, what are the numbers on this?
Because my demographic most of the time, I would say, is like 90% women at my shows, which is fantastic. Like, there's never a more loyal, passionate fan base 1,000 than women.
Bro, my buddy Joey McIntyre and the New Kids on the Block, big pop game. I mean, their resurgence is due to the fact that these gals in their 30s, 40s, and 50s are still diehard and will travel the world to see. I mean, they are, women run the world.
Dude, they're the absolute best fans you can ask for. But sometimes my humor isn't for an all-female audience,
sure,
which I totally get. It has nothing to do with male or female. That's just, it's a population statistic, you know what I mean? And you're going against the odds every time you do a joke that isn't going to be, you know, for the masses.
Right.
So I love when a guy gets drugged to my show by his girlfriend who's a fan, and he's just sitting there, arms crossed the whole time. And then once I get a little... And then in 30 minutes in, now he's sitting back. Now he's laughing the show the entire. And then she's like, "What the fuck? Like, he isn't who I thought he was." And he's like, "Nah, he's actually a pretty good guy. Like, you have good taste in comedy."
Oh man,
I love when I win over a guy.
Can turn someone like that, yeah.
Absolutely. What are the better feeling?
What are the post-show meet and greets been like?
It's 99% women.
Yeah.
And then when I get a dude in there, I'm like, "Let's go."
Yeah.
thanks for wanting to do this.
Are they? What's kind of the consensus that they're all like? You know, just kind of the norm, like, thank you so much, this is funny, blah, blah. Are you getting some, like, deep personal stories of, like,
yeah,
you know, your comedy saved me, or I found you through this, or you know, just stuff that's making you kind of go, wow, this is really bigger than I thought.
It's a mixture of a lot of things. You get some normal people who are just like, just really enjoy your comedy. I just wanted to say I appreciate it. And then you do get people who are like, no, you've brought me out of so many, like, dark places, like, your comedy. I've had people tell me, like, my comedy saves their life, which is insane to me.
Dude,
if anything, I feel like my comedy would end a lot of people's lives. Like, I do some dark shit from time to time.
We'll be right back. Another great fucking dude. That's so funny.
Girls are like, oh my god, they're like shivering, like they like can't like even like sit still for the picture, like they're so nervous. It's so precious. Like it's absolutely adorable how much like people get excited.
And,
which is weird because like I don't know why anybody would want to meet me. It's so weird.
Funny
still.
That you still like just have. And again, I think that's a healthy mindset, man. I mean, I was just talking about this with comedian actor Wayne Brady from Whose Lies Anyway, Chappelle's Show. He was like, dude, you have to have a certain amount of ego in this business to do what we do, right?
Yeah.
But he's like, to stay like, you know, keep an increasingly amount of humility so that you do kind of like you're saying, like, it's just like any other week.
Yeah.
Dude, that is going to serve you so well. But you can't help but like get caught up at times or notice certain things like, bro, there's going to be some Beatles Bieber type shit with buses and girls. I've already seen it. And I think it was a picture of you outside your special in Austin, the Vulcan. Like meeting and greeting everybody, and it was already giving me those vibes.
Oh yeah, people are bringing signs to the shows. People are bringing gifts to like throw on stage.
What
and
sort
stuff.
Of gifts?
A popular one is I did one of the TikToks I did. I was doing some crowd work about red flags, and this girl in Florida said that a guy brought her a Build-A-Bear on a first date, and she thought that was a red flag. I just kind of tore her apart, basically saying like how ungrateful. Like I would love a Build-A-Bear on a first date.
Please.
Like that's, I mean, I'm hoping there's not a camera in the eyes, but like, you
hilarious,
know,
yeah.
I think it's pretty precious.
Yeah.
Now people bring Build-A-Bears all the time. Or since my grandpa passed, people bring me like things from my grandpa all the time, which is like so sweet.
Like what?
Somebody, just this weekend in Oxnard, somebody brought like it's a keychain, but it's not like just a keychain. It's like very well done. Like they printed out like a really cute picture. It's like it's designed really classy, like
wow.
Now it's on my car keys and everything.
Wow.
Shirts. Somebody made a build. My grandpa was in the Navy, so somebody made a Build-A-Bear in a Navy outfit, and they'd have like a Steve name tag and everything.
God, dude,
really cute stuff. Like, people will write me notes, just saying like, you know, thank you, and I'm sorry for your loss, and all that kind of stuff. Like people, they're very kind.
It did hit you hard, yeah. I know you were like best, but I mean that was your guy.
Yeah, it still doesn't. He's really the first person in my family to like die in my lifetime. Like my dad died when I was one,
right?
But like that had no effect on me. I have no memory of it or anything. Like I was one. No, there wasn't present for me.
Yeah.
But for my grandpa, he's somebody I would talk to literally every single day, and it still doesn't feel real. Like, this is the first thing of death I've really ever had to deal with, at least with somebody close to me. Like, my great-grandparents passed away, like, 6 years ago, but they were, like, 97. Like, that's their time, you know?
And and the connection's different, right?
Yeah. So it still feels like, it just feels like, what do you mean I can't call him? Like, it feels like I'm not allowed versus, like, it's not an option. Does that make any sense?
1,000%.
I don't know what stage I'm at in the grieving process.
Have you been allowing yourself to, I mean...
That's a question I get quite often because I am so like overwhelmingly busy now, thank God, and I still don't know if that's like a blessing or if I'm supposed to be taking that time to reflect. I think he would be happy at how busy I am
1,000%.
And I still, a lot of the times before I go on stage, I'll say like a little prayer because the necklace that I wear, I left this with him in his hospice bed when he last time I saw him, and so he like... He passed away with it, like, in his hand. So, I'll have this with me all the time.
Wow,
so,
dude.
From time to time, I'll say a little prayer. Just, like, you know, hope you have a good show, Grandpa. And, you know, hope you enjoy it.
Awesome.
And, you know, what's funny? Since I've started doing that, I did 6 shows in Oxnard. And, like, not on purpose, but, like, I think I did a little prayer for, like, 3 of them. And those were the 3 best shows by far. So, like, little things like that. You're awesome. Like, I wonder. And also, funny enough, today is the first day I've been in L.A. since he passed away that it has not been raining. This might be the first day I've seen sunlight in L.A.
Whoa.
Since he passed away. It was so weird how I hadn't seen like a beautiful day since he passed away. So strange.
He was pretty involved in your just comedy.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think last time we spoke at great length about him.
So last time I was here actually with you, we talked about how I bought him a pocket pussy for Christmas.
Yes.
And you were like, and that was just like a story I was telling. And you were like, you have to tell that on stage. And now in the special, Matthew Stephen Rife, it's the opening bit. Like it's like
Let's
one of the most prominent
go.
Things. So thank you for making me do that.
I mean, bro, again, it
and
just...
And he loved it, too. Like, he was obsessed with that joke. It embarrassed the shit out of him, but, like, he low-key loved it.
That's big time.
Absolutely.
How did he kind of, I guess, shape... What do you think he would be saying right now with, like, the success you're going through? Like, just enjoy it, or would he have kind of, like, little life things to kind of keep you on track?
I mean, he was never one for, like, great advice or anything. He was just very supportive.
Yes.
Like, he was just... He was just my like biggest fan, I think. Like,
someone
ever.
To share your success with.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
You need that.
He was the first person I wanted to call when anything fun happened. And luckily, like some great things have been moving recently. Like I've been having some fantastic meetings, and there's some great opportunities coming up that I'm very excited to announce in the months coming.
Oh hell yeah!
But when they happened, like I remember that when the big call came in. As soon as I hung up, I immediately went to like my speed dial, like the favorites or whatever, and I literally almost clicked on his name just out of like instinct, and I was like, "Fuck, I can't call and share this news with him. It really sucks." But I think he helped shape my comedy from birth. Like it's because I didn't have a dad, like he was like my father figure. I would spend every single weekend with him when I was a kid, and our thing was movies.
Yeah,
we would just he didn't like have any like hobbies or interests or anything like that really, so we would just. Lay on the couch together and watch movies all week. Every time I would go to his house, he would have like 10 new DVDs that he would go buy, and we would watch them together.
Huge.
And most of them were comedies. Adam Sandler, David Spade, Jim Carrey, some raunchier stuff like Bad Santa is like one of the earliest Christmas movies I have a memory of.
That's a great one to start off with.
Oh, it's one of my favorite
movies
ever.
So he's shaping your comedy. I mean, whether it's your point of view, your taste, though.
Definitely my taste.
It's so, people don't realize that to get introduced to that stuff that early, It's like there's no way you weren't going to be involved in this business.
Oh yeah,
or have like a that looks fun, or at least just would you guys like talk and quote movie? Like would you
all the time? Like that was our thing is we would always like reenact our favorite like comedic movie scenes together. So ever since a young kid, I was always reciting my favorite like comedy movie lines and stuff like that. And it feels corny even though it's like a full circle thing. So like he had nicknames for all his grandkids. So ever since I was like 5, mine was Hollywood because I was always quoting movie lines and stuff like that.
Whoa.
That was always my nickname. It was my name in his phone. Like for years, that's what he would call me. This was years before I ever thought about doing stand up or anything like that.
That's crazy.
So now that I live here and all this, and now that all the success is happening, it's kind of a beautiful.
Yeah, man, that's a good omen.
And he was always like my biggest support. He was always the person I knew I could make him like be in tears laughing, and that I think gave me such a confidence to be like, okay, maybe you are actually funny. And when I started out doing comedy at the Columbus Funny Bone when I was 15, it was still a bringer open mic. You still had to get five people to buy tickets to give you 5 minutes.
Goddamn.
And he would buy five tickets because all my friends were in middle school still. So he would come and he would buy five tickets, convincing the club that there was like five people there to see me, just so I could like do comedy for him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably out doing eighth grade, you know, fingering chicks on a bus. Saying, hey, I can't stop them. That's their life, you know. But I'm here. What do you want me to go tell these eighth graders not to finger? I'm just a guy.
I'm just a guy with a microphone. I don't have that kind of power,
bro. That's incredible. That is solely being heavily involved in
Absolutely.
The start of the journey.
Yeah.
Bro, that's awesome.
Thank you, man. And then I got it. I had his hand. I found an old photo when I had to go through his stuff after he passed away, like things that I wanted to take with me. I found this old photo from when I was like 7 or 8 in it. And on the back of it, he had like the year and he wrote Hollywood on the back of it. So I found the photo with his handwriting and I got it tattooed. Like,
wow,
after he passed away.
Oh, I'm not going to cry.
Don't do it.
Dude, that's so awesome, man.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's bittersweet, but he was like so looking forward to coming down for the special tape. And he passed away very fast, like 3 months. He was perfectly healthy last July, and then he passed away like the Tuesday or the Monday after Thanksgiving. It happened so fast. So the fact that he wasn't going to make it down there, I was like, I just felt obligated to. I scrapped the important message of the special that I really wanted to emphasize with the whole 30% thing. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite bits I've ever written was involved in that. But I felt it was more important to kind of show gratitude and dedicate something to him. So we changed the name of it. We changed like the set decoration and all that kind of stuff, which I won't spoil it because it gets addressed at the end of the special and everything.
Wow, dude. So then the name of the title became what? Just more of like whose call was that then?
Mine. And, you know, Eric Griffin directed it, so he was, like, very surprised, like, a week before the taping. He's like, you want to change everything? And I was like, well, at least...
Let me get this straight. Can you change the title? Just your name?
But you know what? He ended up loving it, though, because, you know, Eric's a big softy.
Of course.
He really is.
He really is.
And he's never afraid to tell you how it is. He was like, is this a ballsy move to scrap everything a week beforehand? But he was like, you know, if you feel like that's the right thing, I support it, and let's make it the best. And it is something I'm, like, genuinely proud of now.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Well, it's another new year. We made it 2023. We did it. Congratulations. Hug yourself, touch yourself, so that when you ask yourself who touched you, you know who it was. You got goals, guys, okay? And you want to achieve all of them, every single one of them. And Factor is here to help you do that. So if you're looking to fuel up fast with ready-to-eat nutritious meals, yikes. You ever just forget how to read? Meals delivered straight to your door, then Factor's the place to go, okay? They leave you time and energy to tackle everything else on your to-do list, so you don't have to worry about where and what you're eating. Achieve and maintain your 2023 goals with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, and start saving time, eating well, and living your best life yet. If you love Factor, probably because you're too busy to cook and you don't like going to the grocery store and potentially, you know, running into somebody from your past. And you want to skip the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too. Well, Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes. And all you need is heat and a positive attitude. So whether your lifestyle is keto, calorie smart, vegan, protein plus options are on the menu each week. They're prepared by chefs and approved dietitians, not these unapproved dietitians. And each meal has all the ingredients that you need to feel satisfied all day long. 34 chef-prepared, dietitian-approved weekly options are there for you. Plus, you can round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 36-plus sweets, smoothies, juices, and more satisfying add-ons. Cut back on takeout and get Factor instead. Okay, it's ready to make, ready to eat food in just 2 minutes. Eating vegan or veggie is a snap with Factor. Each meal is prepared by the chefs that know what you want, and they're excited to give it to you. So head to factormeals.com/lastnight50 and use promo code lastnight50 to get 50% off your first box. That's insane. I didn't know that was the deal until I just read it. That's crazy. 50% off at factormeals.com/lastnight50 and you're going to get 50% off your first box. That's insane. So you got to do it. There's no better deal out there and no better food as well. Factor.com/aboutlastnight. /last night 50. Okay, do that. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying the episode, and it's cookie time. Attention, all cookie lovers, including me. Love cookies. Cookies are my weakness. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again right now. I know you crave the sweet taste of freshly baked cookies. Just saying that makes me foam at the mouth. Say it again with me. Freshly baked cookies dipped in milk or eaten by themselves. Well, look, my friends at Twin Life Baking Company have you covered in cookies. With cookies, you can cover yourself in cookies. It's your life. Made from the finest ingredients and baked to perfection. They've got flavors like red velvet stuffed Nutella, vanilla cookie monster, rocky road, s'more, strawberry short stack, birthday funfetti, chocolate bomb, snickerdoodle, pumpkin snickerdoodle, classic chocolate chip, cinnamon toast crunch, cowboy cookie, cookies and cream, lemon delights, and guess what? My very own cookie. That's right, the Adam Ray Pop-Tart. Little bits of brown sugar Pop-Tart on a cinnamon Snicker. It's a chocolate. It's just, trust me, all right? It's the greatest cookie I've ever had. I get emotional thinking about it. If you're listening to this, you're probably a person with great taste buds and you love great cookies and you want to celebrate two badass moms. So right now, go to twinlifebakingcompany.com and use promo code AboutLastNight to save 20% off your order. That's twinlifebakingcompany.com, promo code AboutLastNight to save 20% off your order. What time is it? Cookie time. Now let's get back to the episode.
Okay, so these clips start blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
You start getting opportunities that, I mean, you probably only dreamt about. I mean, I saw, you know, one thing I'll just mention that I think is crazy is you doing two sold-out shows in the main room of the Comedy Store on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
How does that come about? And you said that was like 15-year-old Matt would never believe that, because I'm sure once you got out here and even beforehand, your knowledge of stand-up had to involve the Comedy Store.
Absolutely. And before I moved out here, I actually thought it was a store, funny enough. I thought it was a joke store.
You're not wrong.
With a comedy club as like a side room.
Yeah.
That's how naive I was.
They sell a lot of broken dreams and depression there if you're looking to buy that. But also a lot of success.
But
also a lot of success stories. They sell a lot of good vibes nowadays. I'd say at times.
Mostly drugs, but they do sell some good vibes. Yeah.
Every good joke store has a lot of drugs. Yeah, the store is, I think, up on a pedestal for a lot of people.
Yeah, and you know, funny enough, I still can't get in there. But we hit them up, and obviously, like, my numbers have been moving like crazy recently, so that gives you a little bit of an opportunity.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, I've always wanted to headline the main room at the Comedy Store, because I get booked there for, like, you know, independent shows and stuff like that, but never, like, through the Comedy Store. Yeah. So I was like, this would be an amazing time to have, like, my night there. So we did, they offered me, like, a 10:30 show on a Wednesday, and they were like, sure, go ahead. And it sold out in, like, less than a day. And then a couple weeks went by, and they're like, hey, there's actually, I thought they gave me 10:30 because there was, like, an early show.
Yeah.
There was no early show. They just didn't think I could move. They wanted to give me a prime time space. And they saw how fast that moved out. So they were like, okay, you can have the 8 o'clock space or whatever. And then that sold out. And it was just unreal to have two shows on a very hard night to sell tickets.
Fuck yeah.
In a city where there's so much opportunity to go do other fun things.
Yeah.
And it was just like a dream opportunity. And then I never thought I'd ever get to even perform that, let alone like have my own night and be able to sell it out twice. And, you know, it's just such an iconic venue, you know, to be on the same stage that, like, the greatest comedians of all time started out
at
and made their kicks in.
Who are some of your guys? I mean, you said Jim Carrey, but, like, I guess comic-wise, when you were, now that you've gotten to be, there have to have been some people now that you looked up to or when you came out here that are, whether they're homies or not, that have maybe reached out, have people, that's what I guess always get curious of our, and you'll probably find this in your meetings and stuff, but, like, I don't know, man, it's fucking, you know, Chris Rock, like, are there people that are just like at least throwing some love that through a DM or a fucking email, or you see him live at a show?
Yeah, from time to time. Funny enough, I mean, I hope it's okay that I say it. Yeah. Eliza texted me yesterday.
Cool.
She was like, I just wanted to like say congratulations on all the success, and I'm glad we've been friends since the beginning. And,
yeah.
You know, that, and congratulations. And that was very sweet of her to reach out. I hadn't talked to her in like 7 or 8 months.
Yeah.
So for her to reach, she's raising a kid right now and managing stand up. I don't know how she's doing it.
Yeah.
So it was nice of her to reach out about that. Robert Kelly up in New York.
Yeah, love
so him. Robert Kelly, I have a photo of when I was 14 years old when I first got tickets to see Dane Cook at Nationwide Arena when I was 14. Yep. My mom wanted him on the radio. He was the opening act, and I didn't have meet and greets to meet Dane, but Robert was meeting everybody. So Robert Kelly was technically the first comedian I ever saw live since he opened the show.
Wow.
So it was when he was selling his album. I remember it was called Just the Tip. It was just his album. He autographed it for me. We have a photo together. And then like a month ago, he DM'd me and was like, "Hey man, if you're ever in New York, we'd love to have you stop by and do the podcast." And I'm like, "Fuck yeah, dude! I still love his comedy. He's,
oh, he's
so
such
funny.
A beast, dude.
So funny.
And a really nice guy.
That's what I've heard. Oh, I've never met him since. I've never had any kind of exchange with him. So the fact that like he knew who I was crazy. I ran into Nick Kroll at this Hulu event the other night, and I was like, my manager would just want to introduce us. I guess she knew him from years past. And he was like, he turned and he was like, "Matt." And I was like, how do you know who I am? He's like, "I see you on TikTok all the time. You're super funny." I was like, "Get the fuck out of here,
bro.
I'm such a fan."
Wow.
It's little stuff like that is
that Robert Kelly thing is bonkers.
I know.
First,
right?
And then you're gonna be on his pod. Like that's a true, that's, you know, in the Johnny Carson type version of that for this day and age, where it's like being a fan or meeting somebody and then just being, and then they want to include you. I mean, dude, you're truly, it's. Thanks for being candid about like all the work that you've put into this, because it is so easy for people to look at anyone that like these execs have said, "Where you been?" But with like, you know, halfway decent looks and fucking talent and personability and likability. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy for people to just to go, "Yeah, of course. Hey, man, nothing's guaranteed."
You know, that was one of the most aggravating and like hurtful things I went through for the past like 8 years, is everyone would go, "You're young, you're good,
you're gonna
looking,
be fine.
You're fun, you're gonna be fine." But the thing is, if everybody assumes you're gonna be fine, nobody wants to help you, because they all assume somebody else is going to help you.
Oh yeah.
And if everyone assumes that, nobody does.
Yep.
And that's honestly the position I felt like I've been in for the past like 8 years. Everyone goes, "Well, yeah, this is a no brainer." But then, okay, it's like, what's the opportunity? "Oh no, they're gonna hook you up, don't worry." And it just never really happens.
Wow.
So that's like, that is probably the most like gracious thing about the success I'm having right now, is that like everything has been self-sufficient and self-produced.
And you're owning it all.
I own it all, and it's all really in the power of like the fans and people who want to see more of what I do. Like I love putting my success in the hands of people, rather than three people in an office at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted that success.
Right.
I wanted to come to LA, get on a TV show, get a comedy special, and have like the traditional idea of what a Hollywood success is supposed to be like.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. And now it's like, you almost can't get mad at somebody for having a little bit of like a confidence or ego when nobody wanted to throw them a bone and they had to build their success on their own, because it's like, yeah, you guys didn't want to help me. I got success doing shit on my own the way I wanted to do it. Now you wanted me to like change that mold?
Yeah.
It's like I would have adhered to so many different things you wanted me to do. But now it's a little bit harder to tell me different, because like what I wanted to do works.
Yeah. Is there a part of you, like you have a team now, right, that's like really probably instrumental, I know.
Absolutely.
There's a big deadline thing with CAA, which is fucking, I mean, a dream, because that's a spot where it's like, you want shit to happen on all fronts.
Yeah.
And like you said, like with the growing numbers, you put a tour out that blows off all the tickets in a heartbeat. What is that like, by the way, when you get like little updates? Or is it like your manager just it's Shams, by the way, right?
Mm.
Shout out to Christina Shams, a fucking baller, a rising legend in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Will she just like text you or somebody like, "These ones are gone, want to add?"
Well, I would check them for a while.
Yeah.
I was like, because I could not believe they were selling out. I was like, what? Because, dude, last June, I couldn't sell 100 tickets at a one-nighter in St. Louis or Philly. You know what I mean? Like, it was bare. I was losing money. I'm going to these one-nighters for, like, a $500 flat rate guarantee. If you sell out, we'll give you a bonus. Like, I knew I wasn't going to sell out. Here's a $100 travel buyout plus a $500, so I'm $600 for flying to St. Louis to do a show, get my own hotel and flights. I'm profiting, what, $50? So that was where I'm coming from right before this massive explosion. So I would check my website, like, 10 times a day. I'd be like, "Oh shit, Fort Wayne sold out in December. This is an interesting one. Stand Up Live in Phoenix."
Yeah.
One of the best clubs in the country. I love doing it. But it's a massive room. It's like 500 people. I think I sold that this time last year. I sold out like 3 out of 5 shows there. But they were like, you know, papered some. You know, I was probably selling 200 tickets in that or whatever for a 5-show weekend. Now we're doing, we did five shows that we initially did, sold them out in like less than a day. And then yesterday, I was like, okay, that's 2,500 seats that have already been sold in a city that I don't really go to a lot. It's one town. they offered me one more. Like, we'll give you, you know, well, here's a great deal. Do you want to add one more? I was like, I mean, I guess. I don't think anybody's really going to show up. I think everybody's already got tickets.
Yeah, because that's
like, sold out in an hour from an Instagram story. Like, it's absolutely insane. I can't believe there are that many people who want to come to my shows. It's amazing.
Or what? Without giving away, like, what it is that you're trying to jam on. Because obviously, like, AGT, Wild and Out, mm-hmm. you've been on, like.
No AGT.
No, but you were on it. Mm-mm. Oh, America's Got Talent.
No, Bring the Funny. Yeah.
Fuck. Too many competition shows.
Yeah, I know. Well, this one didn't make it. It's okay.
But that one, but exposure.
The exposure. Honestly, COVID threw a wrench in that plan immediately. After the Bring the Funny stuff for NBC, I had some really good heat. I had just signed with Levity at the time. Yeah. But I had tour dates from like that January through April of 2020 that were completely sold out. I was like, holy shit, this is like my first.
Yep.
First look at success in stand-up via some kind of televised product. And then COVID happened. Everything got shut down. Everybody forgot that even happened. And I was right back to not being able to move ticket sales at all.
No fucking way.
Yeah, I was so excited. Like, it was on NBC. So, like, NBC was very interested in working with me. And we were hoping to maybe develop something. Now, it was like everything got completely washed over COVID.
How did
but that happened for a lot of people.
Yeah. You know? Damn, dude. So I truly know. Having to hit the reset button and start
from
scratch.
Yeah, but I mean, it worked out, you know?
Is there something, like, what is, I guess, the, and you probably get this from, you know, reps and all sides and shapes and sizes, but, like, I guess now as you're building the fucking empire, is it like, what, star movies like you were used to watching growing up with Grandpa, or is it like, is it show? Is it like, just keep doing what you're doing? I mean, you're probably, you tell me, but going to put out a special, like, within the year, I'm guessing, a third one?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the plan is to do a special every year for the rest of my life.
I was just going to say.
That's kind of like, that's like the top goal, right? Like, isn't that what like the top tier comics do? Like, the greats can do that. Louis, Burr, Chappelle, you know? I feel like that is like top tier level of commitment of being like, okay, I think of every year as like a new chapter, yeah. You know? And especially in a touring aspect, like I said, let's say you go to Atlanta right now. When you get there this time next year, you don't want to be doing the same show, mm-hmm. right? If you want to keep your fans satisfied, you have to keep churning out new stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, to be creative over and over and over again is very hard.
How much of these specials involve like some crowd work, or are you trying to make it all?
I did crowd work in this last special for Matthew Stephen Reif, but only because it was something I had baked into the set for the past 6 months.
Gotcha.
And it had to do with the whole, I do like three examples of like red flags for me in a relationship. And it became this fun thing on the road. And it's actually the trend that blew up my TikTok was I would ask females in the audience, like I felt like my jokes were very one-sided. Like I'm listing things I don't like about women. And that's not fair always, you know? So I was curious, like what might be some red flags for a guy? And then the whole bit is like, I'm playing devil's advocate for the guy. They say they don't like a thing a guy does. I'm like, well, maybe you're the problem in the situation. And it was this very fun thing.
You're truly becoming like this, like if it's, you know, a majority gals in the crowd, like they're almost coming to you for some sort of like, you know, give me like, how do I, like, fill me in on like the guy brain, like share like some insights.
Yeah, so I'm writing a book right now called like the Fuckboy Bible, Book of Matthew, it's a funny informational book that kind of like, it gives the insight on like how fuckboys think from time to time in a very comedic way, but it also kind of breaks down the psychology of like how just gross the dating world is now.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, you're in it.
I know, unfortunately, yeah.
Are you swiping away? Are you doing it live in the flesh now? You got opportunities for...
Live in the flesh, man. And it's still not very often. I don't have time. There's so many girls that I do meet that, like, they're absolutely beautiful.
I don't need a lot of time. Just, Matt, like, I can be in just, like, a couple of days a week. Even a couple hours. Just FaceTime me, but, like, you know, lick your lips a lot. Like, I don't need much. Just please. Right? There's
all
want to make it work.
Time, but it's like, I genuinely don't have the time right
Smart.
Now.
Smart.
And I have to remind myself, like, you didn't come out here to find a girlfriend. Like, you uprooted your entire life. You've dedicated the past 12 years of your life towards pursuing your dreams. And, like, I want to get married. I want to get married. I want to have kids. Probably in the next, probably 6 years, something like that. So every time I go on a date with a girl now, I'm not looking to, like, just fuck you. Like, every time I go on a date with a girl, I'm like... Is this, could I see myself marrying this person?
Whoa.
Down the line? Which I know is like.
Maddie Mature. Another great special
name.
That
might feel like a lot of Maddie Mature. It sounds like I'm like an 80-year-old stripper. That sounds awful.
It does. Welcome to the stage, Maddie Mature.
Just untucking my balls from my thigh-high
socks. He's got two balls and two wieners. I'll let you guess where the second one is. Yeah, that's
growing a tail.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't want that to seem like a lot of pressure for the girl, because it's not on them. It's just, I'm just getting a vibe of like, okay, if I have no time or energy to really give away right now, is this somebody that I could see myself dedicating and taking a chunk out of my life to prioritize?
Oh, yeah.
Because a relationship is exactly that. You have to prioritize, and it is a responsibility.
Man, I'm 40, just got married, and was in the same boat. Thank you, brother. I was in the same boat where it was like, and we actually, it's so funny, just got into, you know, we probably, it's so funny. I haven't probably fought in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Been just such a great 3 weeks, but I've been gone a lot the last week, and so trying to, it's now that like needing to find time,
communication,
which, and she is like so supportive and effortless with like, do what you got to do, but in the same way hoping that I'm aware enough to go, all right, we haven't had any us time for 2.5 weeks, you got to carve that out, you got to be aware of that. And I wasn't down to do that for so long up until about now.
Yeah.
And so it is big to like know that for yourself, and it's I'm glad that I didn't, you know, had relationships where I was like, oh, maybe, you know, but I just knew that I was not going to be the best version of me for that, because I was always, because career is just, and still even now, man, it's a tough balance where it's like, I can't not do this. I can't not do this. I mean, like us, you know, finessing this to make this happen. It was like, I'm not figuring that out and going like, oh, what? Like, because, you know, I'm sure you can attest to this. You haven't gotten to where you are by making excuses, or I couldn't just like, I guess that wasn't going to happen. I couldn't make it all work. Yeah. I am always in the mindset of like, bro, if I can't, I'll sleep when I'm dead, and I'm going to make it all happen.
You have to. That's the prioritization. Like, the hard work has to come first, and that's unfortunate, because like, I do meet a lot of wonderful women that I'm like, if I go on a date with them, I'm like, okay, you're beautiful, you're hilarious, you have a good head on your shoulders, like, you're a fantastic person, and we'll hang out for a bit, and like, I genuinely, it sucks sometimes. Sometimes I really will try. I'm like, I would love to give this person an opportunity and try to date this person, and then after a couple weeks, I'm like, I can't give you what I know you deserve.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to half-ass a relationship. Yeah. And it sucks. So now I'm far more cognizant of it, and I'm trying to be more respectful. And like, I don't want to even put myself in a position to get somebody interested if I don't have the time to dedicate to them. You know.
What is the Matt Me purchase that's been made in the last...
The what?
The Matt Me purchase. Like the... made some cash, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to fucking Best Buy to get 18 printers.
So to 18
I don't know,
printers.
Dude. I'm just trying to think of what's going on in your world. It's probably more like condom. I don't know. Like, what do you, you know, loop? Like,
extensive condom budget. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just a big drawer now.
So two things. I bought my mom a car for Christmas.
Get out.
Luckily, my mom does not have expensive taste.
I was just going to say.
She's got like a Hyundai.
Nice.
Like, nothing
perfect.
Crazy
great car.
At all. Absolutely. Yeah. And now she doesn't have to worry about a car payment or anything like that.
Big time.
Just pays her own insurance and
she
gas.
Cry.
She didn't cry, but she hugged me 1,000 times.
She was like, oh, that's going to be a Porsche. But no, this is great. This is,
It was all fun and games until we get there. And then, like, we're at the cubicle going over all the paperwork. You know, they try to upsell you on, like, we'll make sure you get the electronic protection package. Because sometimes the screen goes, she's like, well, you know, maybe we do want to be secure or whatever. Like, so it goes from being like a $25,000 car to like a $33,000 car. Yeah. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Fine, Mom.
Seats totally would be nice. It does get cold in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. So I got the car, and then
you know I'm a better driver with warm butt, Matt. I've always said that.
Oh my! You have no idea. There was two versions of the same car, basically. She was trying to decide between, and it was like a $4,000 difference. And she was like, "Well, you know, in the summertime we do get a lot of sun, so like a sunroof would be kind of nice. But you know, But whatever you want to do, you know, whatever. I don't need it.
Yeah, I don't need it. Yeah.
But it would make you happier if you had the sunroof and seats, little stuff like that. So that was for her. That was the first thing I wanted to do. And then for me, this is so nerdy, and this goes back to the history thing we were talking about. I was in Mount Vernon in D.C. like 2 weeks ago, and we were going through the gift shop, and they had this whole aisle of like these like historical coins and different levels of like currency and stuff like that. They're all authentic. They're from like the 1700s. They're old as shit. They range from like $100 to like $1,200.
Yeah.
And I was looking at them. I'm like, this would be kind of like a cool thing to own. So like, just something from that old that you can hold in your own hands.
Yeah.
And I was looking at them, and she was like, well, if you like historical currencies, we have these like, framed things. That's, like, kind of, I would say it's, like, probably, like, the half the size of this table. It's this giant framed photo frame, and it's glass-protected. And inside of it is a piece of original currency that was printed by either Ben Franklin or Paul Revere. It was either of them printed each one of these pieces of paper, and they're each an original piece of currency from the original 13 colonies. So I bought that.
Oh, my God.
It was like 10 grand.
Dude, at heart, you're an 82-year-old man from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Dude, I'm so old, bro. I'm so old. I had to do it,
like,
man.
Dude, I got the first bullet from like World War II that was ever shot into a Jewish guy's fucking skull. Yeah.
I have the booger that flew out of Lincoln's nose when he got assassinated.
I got Hitler's toenail. Yeah.
I would buy weird shit like
you
that
would, yeah.
all day,
All right.
Bro.
Well, there's something for everybody out there. And there's something for everybody out there. Like Matt Rife's TikTok and comedy and Instagram. You're a beast. At Matt Rife on TikTok and Instagram.
Absolutely. If anybody's selling like a thread of Harriet Tubman's pubes, I will buy that for
You're not joking,
price.
And that's why I love you.
I would so buy that.
Yeah,
how could you not?
Everyone's got a price. And when you're making this cash, also, some people like art. Some people like shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's wrong with being like having an eclectic, historic
stuff like that? It's also an investment. You know what I mean? Like, they had told me I'm only like the 10th person to ever buy one of these in like the 20 years they've been selling them, and the price goes up each time.
So you're cornering the market.
Yeah,
you're gonna buy all this shit when it's hot, and then you're gonna sell it high, and you're gonna be holding this.
I hope I never have.
You're gonna do a show at Medieval Times, but it's also an auction. It's also an auction. Hear me out. Where you're selling like all this, it's not even Matt Rife merch anymore. It's like Matt Rife's merch is his like historical artifacts he's bought up. Like
I'm like my own Antiques Roadshow.
Bro, here's Obama's first blunt. You know what I'm saying? Like your own Antiques Roadshow. Great place for a special, bro.
That will be so.
This is a great idea. Actually, you do it there, but then with that audience. But then maybe you're also. I don't know, dude. I'm spitballing. This sounds like a good idea.
It's weird that I know I probably could do it now, but once I'm like, I fully believe I can sell out like anywhere at any time, I would love to do a whole tour of like all these historical venues, even off-kilter places that aren't like necessarily known for shows.
Sky's the limit. You know what's going to happen. You're probably going to do a fucking show on the moon.
Oh my God.
And then like be the first one to do like an Interspace, like Martin Short. Remember when he went inside? If you haven't seen Interspace, Martin Short gets in a little spaceship and they put him inside Dennis Quaid's body. You're going to do that, but go inside of a vagina, and I bet there will be no shortage of women that are like, please, I will be the first recipient of the special Inside the Vagina.
I just hope I get to pick. I really hope I get to pick.
You do not. Well, you know, it's like door number one, door number two, door number three. It's a 25-year-old, a 50-year-old, and a 96-year-old. And fucking, you got to pick correctly, Indiana Jones style, and that's where you do the special.
Honestly, I'm kind of hoping for the 90-year-old.
Yeah.
Any pussy that's been
more space,
been
I don't
nom,
know. Yeah.
I'm like, it just feels like there might be cave paintings in there. Like, you don't know what's in there.
That
bro.
You will buy.
Absolutely.
Matt Rife, OnlyFans and Matthew Stephen Rife specials. New one's coming out. I'd say go see him on tour. 2024 is just around the corner.
Yeah, we're adding some theaters. Be patient.
Okay, good. MattRife.com for all that, right?
Yep. MattRifeOfficial.com.
Perfect. Bro, I love you.
Love you too, man.
Big time.
Thanks for making time.
Yeah, you got it.